In 2015, the world was shocked when David Dalyden and his colleagues released some videos which showed that Planned Parenthood was apparently trafficking baby body parts from unborn babies that had been aborted. Well, David Dalyden has now written a friend of the court brief on behalf of the pro-life side in reference to a case going before the U.S. Supreme Court that may actually revisit the whole issue of abortion. We're going to talk about this right now with one of the attorneys who's been helping David Dalyden. His name is Paul Jonah, and he is with the Thomas More Society, which has been absolutely supporting David Dalyden with legal help. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Paul, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Why don't you add anything to this introduction, if you would?
Sure. Well, David Dalyden, as your listeners might remember, had a 30-month-long undercover project which exposed some significant crimes that were occurring at Planned Parenthood, including the fact that doctors were changing abortion procedures in order to get more intact tissue, and they were profiting off of the sale of the aborted fetal tissue, and a lot more. And what the result of that was that Congress opened up investigations. There's a select investigative panel that made criminal referrals, and ultimately some of Planned Parenthood's partners were charged with crimes and shut down. Da Vinci Biologics, for example, paid $7.8 million in a settlement and agreed to stop operating. They were one of Planned Parenthood's partners, and they were shut down as a result of David's undercover work. And as you alluded to, instead of being praised or rewarded for his great journalistic brilliance, he was charged with 14 felonies by the state of California, and he was sued by the National Abortion Federation, Planned Parenthood, and Stem Express. And two of those cases are on appeal, the NAF case and the Planned Parenthood case. But the Stem Express case we defeated early on, and he was able to release a very damning video of their top CEO talking about sending baby heads essentially in boxes and laughing about it. And we've been representing David since 2015. This brief that he filed, I can talk about that if you'd like.
Yes,
or
please.
Essentially builds on what he already uncovered in his work and makes some legal arguments specific to some of his findings. So basically he makes three primary arguments. The first is that at 15 weeks, because what we're dealing with in Mississippi, this case that's being that will be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, is a ban on all abortions after the first 15 weeks of pregnancy. And we're expecting the Supreme Court to take this up in this term, 2021-2022. And the three arguments that David makes in his brief, Center for Medical Progress, the first is that by 15 weeks, the human infant in the womb is unmistakably manifests the human form identical to any other member of our community. That's the first argument, and I think that's a pretty straightforward argument. He also says that the current equal protection violations to which a four-month-old pre-viable infant is subject, basically are staggering. He makes an equal protection argument, and he also argues that there's a compelling interest that the people of the United States have in promoting the life and liberty of the youngest and most vulnerable Americans, even pre-viability. And in the brief, he also talks about another finding of his that he made recently after the videos were released, which is that University of Pittsburgh was actually cutting the scalps off of aborted babies and off their heads and removing the skin off of their backs of aborted infants and grafting those onto lab mice and rats. And just giving another example for the court, because there's a massive demand for the aborted fetal tissue for scientific experiments. And a lot of this is coming at, infants that are at 15, aborted fetuses, which are 15 weeks, as early as 15 weeks, and sometimes as early as 10 weeks, to be honest. So he explains, he quotes some of the findings from his videos in this brief, and he explains to the court his unique perspective as having sat face to face in the with these folks at Planned Parenthood, kind of in the lion's den, so to speak. And he, I think it's a compelling little addition to the already voluminous record in this case, but it does provide a little bit of a unique insight.
Yeah, and you know, think about it this way: we've been told for years that a fetus is quote unquote just a POC; it's a product of conception; it's just a blob of tissue. And then what his research, and he worked with somebody worked with him, Sandra Merritt, what their research found through these videos, these undercover videos, is that, well, there's a market for taking this quote unquote blob of tissue and separating its livers and separating its lungs and separating its kidneys and separating its brains so that the abortionist can actually make more money by donating those things to science. Well, wait a minute. If it's a blob of tissue, then how do we even have brains, for example?
Right. And then he has a line in here, which he's used before, which I think is worth quoting. It's very much relevant to what you just said. It is, quote, "It is precisely the equal humanity of the fetus vulnerable to abortion that makes him or her valuable for scientific experimentation." So it is their humanity that makes them so valuable. And that's the real brilliance of his project. What it uncovered is, okay, you can say these aren't humans, but you're taking their human organs. I mean, that's what's valuable to you. All you researchers and scientists, it's their human organs. So it kind of puts the hypocrisy front and center and shows, exposes it for what it is, because it's ridiculous. Of course, they're human, and that's the human body parts they're profiting from. And he also explains that the mid-trimester human fetuses at 4 months old are precisely the fetuses that are most in demand for experimental use. And he goes into some detail explaining that. And when we were handling his case, I remember seeing those little menus, if you will. StemExpress, for example, had a menu for researchers. You just check the box. Do you want a liver? How many livers do you want? Brain, heart, thymus? I mean, it's like a menu that they made for the researchers. And by the way, Planned Parenthood would make money off of the tissue, but then the researchers would go and they would, make 10 times the amount Planned Parenthood was making, because they would, like StemExpress, for example, Congress tracked like one human brain that was taken from an abortion at Planned Parenthood, and then they took the cells, and they did all this different. They basically were able to make, I think, multiple thousands of dollars, selling different parts of it and different cells and isolating different things. And so it's a big industry for these. It was, at least. I think it's kind of lessened to some degree after this case, but it was big money for these researchers and for Planned Parenthood.
I remember when the story first broke out 6 years ago, and I remember thinking, my goodness, this is like tearing the curtain, pay no attention but to the man behind the curtain. He was literally, David DeLeiden was pulling this curtain back and saying, look at this horrible, horrible practice. And a friend of mine said, well, this is either going to wake America up to the evils of abortion, or it's just going to be another example of the searing of our conscience as Americans, because, it was just such a horrible story.
Yeah. No, and it's horrible, and it's the kind of story that you think that people on both sides would rally behind, because even if you're pro-abortion, I would hope you wouldn't want, Planned Parenthood or any other abortion provider violating the law. I mean, it's illegal to take human tissue and monetize it and make money off of it. I mean, it is legal, as everyone knows, to donate tissue, but selling it and making it, turning a market into human tissue is completely legal. And then not only that, even if you're pro-abortion, you wouldn't want women harmed. I mean, what they're doing, the way they were able to harvest this tissue is by changing the procedure. I mean, Dr. Nicotola, who I deposed and I cross-examined at trial, she explains, we got to crush above, crush below, just so we can leave it all intact. I mean, that's changing the procedure. That's exposing the woman to more harm because they want to extract intact tissue. So, I would think that people who are pro-abortion wouldn't want any of that happening, but I'm not so sure. But that was what I initially thought. At this point, though, the good news is we do have a very good shot at either overruling Roe versus Wade or severely restricting it with this Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case. So I think that it's, you know, we have a very solid conservative majority at this point, at least for these issues. So there's a good reason to be optimistic.
Is it true that in some cases the little babies, the unborn babies that were, you know, taken out, aborted, but in some cases they were still left intact so that their hearts were beating and they were transported that way so that their hearts would continue to beat as they were brought into the labs? I mean, it sounds like a Frankenstein movie or something. It's just
out of sight. Go ahead,
I'm sorry. It's just we don't see these things, but just to even hear it described it's horrific.
We had evidence in the lawsuits, and we still have it, that was occurring. I mean, David and his team uncovered evidence that there were born alive infants, and one of the ways he knows that was there were beating hearts that were literally taken from a aborted baby and placed into a lab rat, and still continued beating. And there's this lots of that actually documented in literature. I think Planned Parenthood's excuse is, because it's explained in these studies, I think they justify it by saying, well, you know, a heart tissue is like it's a muscle. It can stop. It can be dead, and then we can revive it. Or, you know, they had some explanation. But the person who was on the scene who witnessed that described it as that's not how it occurred. She actually saw the heart beating out of the baby, and then that was something that was going on. I mean, that it did happen, and it is explained. Actually, many Planned Parenthood folks who were interviewed by David kind of alluded to this happening. They said things like, "Yeah, we had a woman who we put in the stirrups and it just came out." I mean, so what that means is a live baby just fell out. So and then was killed. I mean, that was something that was documented on film. There were other explanations about how do you know? You know, this is David again talking to top Planned Parenthood doctors, talking about how do you detect signs of life and whether, you know, you're dealing with a born alive infant, essentially. And the doctor's response was, the first thing you ought to do is make sure you know who's in the room. Okay. And then the second thing
wait. Explain that.
Basically what she's saying is, you know, as long as you trust everyone in the room, you can just document whatever you need to document about whether there was a born alive infant. I mean, that's the translation. But you have to watch the clip, which are all on Center for Medical Progress's website. But essentially what the doctor was saying is, I mean, to read between the lines, this happens, but the main thing is you need to have people in the room that you can trust that won't report that it's happening. So
I know one thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's a pretty quick summary, but all the videos, like I said, are on the Center for Medical Progress website, and they're pretty. I'm shocked at how many people still haven't even heard about these videos, to be honest with you. So I think it's a great thing to watch them and see for yourself. This is coming right out of their mouths. I mean, these are admissions from them directly.
We have about half a minute left. I know one of the things that the mainstream media has often said, trying to drill this point down, these are heavily edited tapes, implying that David DeLeiden has been deceptive in the editing.
Yeah, well, Planned Parenthood actually at trial in the case conceded, as they had to, that every single word that was spoken on those videos were the words of the doctors. And those were their statements, and they didn't even address that issue at trial. So, of course, with every, you know, video, you have to edit stuff that's not relevant, but nothing was manipulated or deceptively edited. It was all just cut for – and every time David posted a video, even a shortened version, he had the full-length version below. So I think it's pretty clear that that's just a red herring. There was no deceptive editing.
All right, and people can get more information also at thomasmoresociety.org. Paul Jonah, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jerry. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.